स्मृतिर्भ्रमः स्मृतिसंसादबुद्धिनाश बुद्धिनाशात् प्रणश्यते क्रोधात् भवति सम्मोहात् स्मृतिर्भ्रमः स्मृतिरंसाद्बुद्धिनाश बुद्धिनाशात् प्रणश्यते क्रोधात् भवति सम्मोहात् स्मृतिर्भ्रमः स्मृतिभ्रंसाद्बुद्धिनाश बुद्धिनाशात् प्रणश्यते स्मृति ऑफ मेमोरी विभ्रम ब्यूल्डरमेंट स्मृति भ्रंश आफ्टर ब्यूल्डरमेंट ऑफ मेमोरी बुद्धिनाश लॉस ऑफ इंटेलिजेंस बुद्धिनाशात एंड फ्रॉम लॉस ऑफ इंटेलिजेंस प्रणश्यति वन फॉल्स डाउन Translation and purpose by His Divine Grace, S.V. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Translation. From anger, complete delusion arises, and from delusion, bewilderment of memory. When memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost, and when intelligence is lost, one falls down again into the material pool. Purport. Srila Rupa Goswami has given us this direction. Prapanchikataya buddhya hari sambandhi vastanah mumukshuvi parityago vairagyam phalgu kathyate. By development of Krishna consciousness, one can know that everything has its use in the service of the Lord. Those who are without knowledge of Krishna consciousness artificially try to avoid material objects And as a result, although they desire liberation from material bondage, they do not attain to the perfect stage of renunciation. Their so-called renunciation is called phalgu, or less important. On the other hand, a person in Krishna consciousness knows how to use everything in the service of the Lord. Therefore, he does not become a victim of material consciousness. For example, for an impersonalist, the Lord or the Absolute, being impersonal, cannot eat. Whereas an impersonalist tries to avoid good eatables. A devotee knows that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and that he eats all that is offered to him in devotion. So after offering good eatables to the Lord, the devotee takes the remnants called prasadam. Thus, everything becomes spiritualized and there is no danger of a downfall. The devotee takes prasadam in Krishna consciousness, whereas the non-devotee rejects it as material. The impersonalist therefore cannot enjoy life. Due to his artificial renunciation, and for this reason, a slight agitation of the mind pulls him down again into the pool of material existence. It is said that such a soul, even though rising up to the point of liberation, falls down again due to his not having support in devotional service. ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामयं ददाति सपदं श्रियं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरौ श्रीतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवंश श्रीरूपं शक्रजातं शरणरघुनाथ नितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परियनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादं शरणललित श्रीविशाखान्वितं स हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धो जगत्पते उपेश गोपिकाकन्द राधाकन्द नमस्तुते सप्तकन्दन गौरङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी विशवामसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रे वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानं पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो अवदन्नाय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नाम्ने गौरपिते नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द शिवाद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 क्रोधात भवति सम्मोह सम्मोहात स्मृति विभ्रम स्मृति भ्रंशात बुद्धिनाश बुद्धिनाशात प्रणश्यते। So here in this verse of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna, while speaking to Arjuna, is describing how a person falls down by contemplating on the object of the senses. As we know that Arjuna had asked Krishna a very important question, Stita Prajna Sata Bhasa. How, what is the symptom of a person with steady intelligence? And in answer to that question, Krishna is describing in so many verses how a person's intelligence will be steady, and what are its symptoms, and how one can concentrate his mind and can have a steady intelligence by which he will not be affected by material tribulations. So here in the previous verse, Lord Krishna has given the examples of a chain reaction for a person who contemplates on the objects of the senses. In the previous verse, Krishna says, Dhyayata Vishayana Punsa Sangastesu Upajayate. That when a person contemplates, concentrates on the object of the senses, then all the chain reactions happens. Like previously he has already told that how by contemplating on senses, on the object of the senses, then one's attachment develops for that object. And then the chain reaction starts. So, the person who wants to control his mind, how one can do that, here is the clue Krishna gives, that our mind is disturbed when we concentrate on the objects of the senses, because this is natural that we have five senses, those who are knowledge acquiring senses, and they have their objects. Like we see that we have the eyes, and what are the objects of the eyes? Is the form. So beautiful form. So whenever we see a beautiful form, our eyes are immediately attracted to that. Even without any endeavor, eyes will go there. So in the same way, we have our tongue. And whenever there is nice foodstuff, very nice smell is coming, or very tasty, then tongue desires to eat that. It is natural. There is a natural connection for the senses with objects of the senses. And because of this, we are dragged by our senses to enjoy the objects of the senses. And our mind is agitated, and then we fall down. Then we fall down to the material existence again and again. So a person who wants to get out of this material existence and develop love for Krishna, or develop for a higher taste, then he has to restrict these senses from the sense objects, but he has to give a higher taste to the senses. Generally, the yogis or the impersonalists, they try to restrict their senses from the sense objects. If there is nice foodstuff, then the yogis or impersonalists, they will try to restrict the senses not to eat nice foodstuff. Like it has been described also in Srimad Bhagavatam, that anyone who is desiring to make spiritual advancement, he should only eat to maintain his body. So the yogis and impersonalists, they just try to maintain their body, they don't give pleasure to their senses. But what happens when after many, many years of sense restriction, if suddenly some sense objects appears in front of them, suddenly their mind is agitated and they fall into the prey of the sense objects. And they fall down from their position. Like we see many sages, they perform austerities for thousands of years. They restrict their senses. Even they leave their houses, leave their family, leave the society, go to a secluded place like a forest, and because they think there they will not be disturbed by anything in the forest, and they can peacefully do their spiritual sadhana. But in forest, by chance or by arrangement, if they see something for sense enjoyment, immediately their senses are attracted and they fall down from their position. So the sages, they perform austerities for thousands of years. But if any heavenly damsel comes in front of them and starts to attract the sage, then immediately they cannot control their senses. They will fall into the prey of sense objects. And for thousands of years of austerity goes in vain. They fall down from their position. So here also we see Srila Prabhupada in his purport, he's saying about the impersonalists. The impersonalists, they also don't provide any sense gratification to their senses, because they are hankering for spiritual upliftment and they want to merge with the Supreme. So, but when they endeavor for many, many years, because they think that all its sense objects or whatever available in the material world for sense enjoyment, this is detrimental to spiritual life, so they give it up. But then, when the opportunity arises, suddenly they will fall down from their position. The same way like the sages do in the forest. So here, Srila Rupa Goswami says that this type of restriction of the senses is artificial, and there is a chance that a yogi may fall down from his position, or an impersonalist can fall down from his position. But the devotees of the Lord, they know that all these objects, they are meant for the service of the Lord. So they don't engage those objects for their own sense gratification, but they employ those objects for gratifying the senses of the Lord. So in that way, they actually utilize everything for the service of the Lord. And in this way, they give another alternative to the senses, higher alternative for enjoyment. Like Srila Prabhupada gives the example of prasadam. So we know that how many devotees they became attracted towards Krishna consciousness through prasadam. Srila Prabhupada himself, when he started his preaching, he attracted devotees, not devotees that time, the hippies in America, they attracted to Krishna consciousness by distributing them Krishna prasadam, such as gulab jamun, halwa, and they were attracted. So, Krishna prasadam is very attractive for devotees, and it is not only attractive to the senses, it is also purifying to the senses. Prasad means mercy. So first we offer to Krishna nice foodstuff, and then we take the remnants of Krishna, and in that way our senses become purified and we also get a higher taste of prasada. So in this way we engage our senses in higher taste. Like in another verse Krishna says, rasa varjan rasa pyasa param drishta nivartate. So when we have higher taste, then naturally we will give up lower taste. So in this material world, the sense gratification is considered lower taste. Because the sense gratification is available even in animal kingdom. Animals, insects, all other creatures apart from human beings, they are all engaged in eating, sleeping, mating and defending. And human beings are also doing the same thing. Then what is the difference between human beings and animals? So these are animalistic propensities. That's why human beings, because they have higher intelligence, higher consciousness, and the animals and other creatures have lesser consciousness. So it has been described that there are five types of consciousness. So one type of consciousness is called covered consciousness, abhruta chetana. So those plants, they have covered consciousness. When we cut a tree, though the tree may feel the pain, but it doesn't react like we react. If something happens to us, we react immediately. But the trees, they don't react like us, but still they have consciousness, they feel the pain. So they have covered consciousness. And then higher consciousness than the trees are the animals. They have sunken consciousness. So their consciousness is sunken. So they only act according to their propensity. Animals, they will act according to their propensity. Like a dog is coming to eat something, we want to drive away the dog, then we may beat the dog will go away. But the dog will not think, no, that person beat me, so I will not go back there. The dog will not think like this, because his attention is towards the food, what is there. So even if we beat again and again, the dog will again and again come back to get the food. So this is their consciousness. They only concentrate on eating, sleeping, mating and defending. They cannot think anything apart from that. So that's how the animals, they have this sunken consciousness. They don't have developed consciousness. But then the human beings, they have developed consciousness. And that actually makes the difference between human beings and animals. The human beings, have three types of consciousness. One is budding consciousness, just like a bird comes out. So they have some little higher consciousness than animals. That's why they have got the body of a human being. But that is not very developed consciousness, like people in the mode of ignorance. No? Or they have like budding consciousness. And then the second type of consciousness is blossomed consciousness. This is higher consciousness. So this type of people, they are mostly in the mode of goodness, so they have blossomed consciousness. And budding consciousness, they are in mode of ignorance and passion. And then the third type of consciousness human beings have, that is fully blossomed consciousness. So that means they are highly developed human beings, especially those who are spiritually developed. They are fully blossomed consciousness. So in this way, according to consciousness, people act in this material world. People and other creatures, they act. So the human beings, they are supposed to rise above this bodily conception of life. And they are supposed to act on the platform of Krishna consciousness. So that's why here Lord Krishna, while explaining to Arjuna, he said that how the living entity falls down to the material pool by concentrating on the objects of the senses. And how the chain reaction takes place. Like concentrating one's mind on the sense object. So when the senses come in contact with the sense objects, naturally, first thought comes in the mind about that sense object. And if we linger our thoughts on that sense object, then in our mind natural attachment will develop for that sense object. So here, those who are trying to make spiritual advancement and trying to restrict their senses from sense objects and trying to give pleasure to Krishna's senses by service. So here what they do, even if they come in contact with the sense objects, and even if the thoughts come in their mind, they stop thinking about the sense objects. That is the first step to control the mind. That as soon as the thoughts would come in the mind, instead of lingering those thoughts, one is supposed to cut off those thoughts. But how can one do that? Like we see Ajamil. Ajamil saw that prostitute embracing his male partner in the forest. And when he came back to his house, he remembered that scene. And even if he was very learned, and he had also performed devotional service, he was born in a Brahmin family, he was worshipping Lord Vishnu. So he had all knowledge. But when the thoughts came of that prostitute, and he wanted to stop that thought by remembering that all women are mothers, one should not look towards women. So all these things, Shastric injunctions, he was thinking in his mind. But still he could not control his mind. The thoughts came again and again. So what went wrong with Ajamilda? Because he could not control these thoughts and he was thinking again and again, so he became attached to the prostitute. Attachment developed. Here like Krishna said, Dayata Vishana Pansa Sangastesu Padayate Sangat Sanjayate Kama. So one will desire. When attachment will develop, one will desire to get that object. So Ajamil, because of constant thinking about the prostitute, he desired to get her. So he could not restrict himself and he fell down from his position. So there, how a devotee can avoid this type of situation? Ajamil saw one sin that time. Nowadays we can see everywhere that type of sins. So it is very difficult in this age of Kali to control one's mind. But the devotees have the opportunity to take shelter of Krishna. Because Krishna says, Daivihasa gunamai mama maya duratteya. Maam evaja prapadyante mayametang tarantite. So Krishna's material energy is very difficult to overcome. One cannot overcome Krishna's material energy by good amount of Vedic study or study of the scriptures or performing austerity, having Shastric knowledge, performing austerity. One cannot control one's senses. So, here Krishna says, Maam evaja prapadyante. When one will surrender unto me, take shelter of me, then only he can get rid of this material energy of mine. Because material energy is working under Krishna's direction. So here, what went wrong? Ajamil did not take shelter of Krishna. Though he had Shastric knowledge, but he did not take shelter of Krishna. He did not remember Krishna. He was only remembering Shastric injunctions, but Shastric injunctions are telling. Krishna himself is telling, Maam evaja prapadyante, you surrender to me. Because Krishna is Hrishikesha. He is the controller of the senses. So when a devotee surrenders to Krishna and thinks about Krishna, then Krishna, he gives the nectar of his lotus feet. Sva charana mrita diya vishaya bhulaya. Krishna says that when a devotee surrenders to me, then what do I do? I give the nectar of my lotus feet, so he will forget his material enjoyment. The person will forget about the material enjoyment by getting the nectar of my lotus feet. So, when these thoughts come for material sense gratification, a person who is endeavoring for spiritual upliftment and trying to surrender to Krishna, then he should stop thinking about the sense objects, surrender to Krishna and think of Krishna. Bring Krishna into one's thought. So in that way, by taking shelter of Krishna and thinking about Krishna, one can escape from this material entanglement. And this chain reaction will stop for him. Otherwise, the chain reactions which have been described by Krishna in these verses, two verses, will act. So, here specifically in today's verse, it says, Krodhat Bhavati Sammoha. A previous verse says, Kama Krodha Vijayate. So when one thinks about sense objects, then attachment develops, then one desires to get that object. But when there is obstruction to get that object, then anger comes out of frustration. And when anger comes, then the chain reaction here described in this verse, Krodhat Bhavati Sammoha. One will be illusioned. Sammoha, Sammek Moho. Moho means illusion. Sammek means fool, fully illusioned. So, when there is anger, there is complete delusion, Prabhupada says. Complete delusion arises. And when there will be moha, moha means, like in Bhagavad Gita we see, Arjuna had two types of moha. One was Swadharma Moha, means Arjuna was illusion about his prescribed duties as a Kshatriya. His prescribed duty was to fight to protect religion. But Arjuna was not desirous of fighting. So Swadharma Moha appeared in Arjuna. He was illusioned about his prescribed duties, what to do, whether to fight or not. He had already decided not to fight. And Arjuna gave many valid reasons, according to scriptures, not to fight. But Arjuna was not correct, as we see how Krishna corrected Arjuna later. So Arjuna had Swadharma Moha, and then second Moha was Atma Moha. Atma means Arjuna forgot his own identity. Like in material world, we have forgotten our identity. This is Atma Moha. And because we have forgotten our identity, then we think, I am this material body and everything related to this body is mine. I am mine, aham mameti. Jivasya mohayam, aham mameti. So this is moha. Aham mameti, I am mine. I am this body and anything related to this body is mine, meant for my enjoyment. So here, this anger and envy, this is because of enviousness towards the Supreme Lord, that instead of serving the Supreme Lord, giving pleasure to the Supreme Lord, we think everything is meant for my pleasure. So, Krodhat Bhavati Sammoha. So, out of anger, this delusion arises. Complete delusion arises. One thinks that I am this body and everything related to this body is mine, meant for my enjoyment, not for Krishna's enjoyment. And then, sammohat smriti vibhrama. And when this perfect illusion comes, then bewilderment of memory takes place. One forgets about his position completely. He forgets about his position, and in that way his intelligence is lost. When one forgets one's position, pisachi paile jena mati channa hai, mayagrasta jiver hai se bhava udaya. Like when someone is hunted by a ghost, one loses one's identity, one forgets one's identity. What the ghost will say, the person will speak, because he has lost his identity. So, and where the ghost will act, the person will act. So that's why it has been stated that the living entities in this material world, they have been hunted by this Maya Pisachi. The witch, Maya witch, the witch of material energy. And whatever the material energy is telling us, we are doing, because we have forgotten our identity. And what is our real identity? Jivera Sarupahaya Krishna Nitya Das. So the real identity of the living entity is its servant, eternal servant of Krishna. And as eternal servant of Krishna, we are supposed to serve Krishna with all our senses, with all our resources. We are supposed to serve Krishna. But instead of doing that, we think, I am this body and everything is meant for my bodily enjoyment. That's why we work in that direction. So in this way, we fall down from our spiritual position. Like here Prabhupada says, that like impersonalists, they perform austerity, restrict their senses, and they make advancement in spiritual life. But as soon as some opportunity comes for sense enjoyment, they are attracted and then they fall down from that position, coming back to zero. Whereas the devotees, sometimes we also see there is also fall down of devotees. Sometimes the devotees initially, they try to control their senses, try to make advancement in spiritual life. And then after some time, they also fall down from their position again, come back for sense enjoyment. But even if a devotee falls down, but still for a devotee there is no loss. Whereas for impersonalists or for other transcendentalists, there is complete loss. Whatever they have done, everything is lost. But when a devotee, immature devotee falls down, then whatever he has done, it is never lost. So he may fall down for some time, but again he cannot find real happiness in sense gratification. Again he will come back to Krishna consciousness. And he will start where he has left off. So whatever he has done has not gone on waste. So in that way, a devotee is in better position than impersonalist or yogis. But it is not very ideal situation to fall down. So at least we always try to make advancement in spiritual life by controlling our senses and engaging our senses in Krishna's service. So Krishna, in these two verses, he is actually warning us that what happens when one concentrates on the objects of the senses and how one can restrict his fall down by not contemplating his contemplating on the objects of the senses, and in that way he can be saved from this fall down, and his intelligence will be steady in devotional service. So we'll stop here if anyone has any comments or questions.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, in the verses we discuss about eight stages of fall down from Tyayato Visayan Pumsa until Buddhi Nasa Pranasyati. But any of the stages, if we come to know, can we stop if we are alert, we are going to fall down, can we stop on the spot?
Very difficult. In the middle stage, already we have lost our identity. Very difficult. Like someone is hunted by a ghost and we expect him to behave like a normal man, is very difficult. Until we cure him from his hunting situation. So the cure is like the chant some mantra to cure. Someone is hunted by a ghost, the chant some mantra. So the mantra here is Hare Krishna Mahamantra. We have to take shelter of this Hare Krishna Mahamantra associated with the devotees, and hear from the devotees, and then we can be saved only.
One more question, Maharaj. When we discuss, if I develop a higher taste, I will be saved. How to get the higher taste, Maharaj? What are the procedures I have to follow?
Like Prabhupada is giving example of prasadam. Like the yogis or impersonalists, they don't eat nice prasadam. They don't eat any prasadam at all. They don't eat any nice foodstuff. They don't want to give pleasure to their senses. But the devotees, they bring nice foodstuff, prepare nice bhoga, offer to Krishna, and then take nice prasadam. And then the senses are satisfied. Yeah, this is a natural tendency for the tongue to eat nice foodstuff. To restrict the tongue is very risky. Because whenever there will be some opportunity, the tongue may go for that. But the devotees, instead of restricting the tongue, they give the tongue Krishna prasadam, which is better than ordinary foodstuff. Because that purifies the tongue, purifies the senses, and also gets the nice taste of Krishna prasadam. So in that way, the senses will be controlled. By engaging them in Krishna's service, the senses will be controlled. So here, tongue is engaged in Krishna's service by respecting Krishna's prasad. the eyes are engaged in Krishna's service by seeing the beautiful form of Krishna in the temple. So in the same way, the ears are restricted by hearing the kirtan of Krishna. Instead of hearing any film music, you hear kirtan. So this is higher taste. So for all our senses, we can relate everything to Krishna. Like Ambarish Maharshi says, Sabai Mana Krishna Padara Vindayo Bachansi Vaikuntha Gunanu Varnane. So the mind has to always think of the lotus feet of Krishna. And Krishna says this in Bhagavad Gita again and again. Manmana Bhagavad Bhakto, Manmana, you give your mind to me. Always think of me. So the mind can be engaged in thinking about Krishna's lotus feet. The hands can be engaged in cooking for Krishna or washing Krishna's pots or sweeping Krishna's temple. The legs can be engaged in doing parikrama of the holy dham, visiting Krishna's pastime places, and all other senses can be engaged in so many ways. Then they will be satisfied, completely satisfied. This is a higher test.
However, the mind is very expert at rationalizing. I'm a devotee of Krishna, yeah, and I've thought of this, so it must be Krishna.
That is also another type of illusion.
So, this is a very, very difficult illusion to overcome.
Yeah, that's
why. Everywhere.
That's who thinks I am a devotee of Krishna? You know? Actually, those devotees, they're Kanishtha. They think they're devotees of Krishna. Advanced devotees, they never think they're devotees of Krishna. They are so humble, they think that everyone has become devotee of Krishna, everyone is serving Krishna, I could not serve. I could not become a devotee of Krishna. This is their mood. And they always pray for Krishna's mercy and Vaishnava's mercy. But the Kanishtha devotees, they think, now I have become a devotee of Krishna, so now I can do anything I like, or I can think anything I like. So, because of their mental speculation, this is their mental speculation, they fall down from their position. So mind gives always alternatives. Even after coming to Krishna consciousness, mind is always giving different alternatives. All the time. Like suppose we are coming to Mangalarati, one day we may think, oh, I am going every day, if I don't go one day, okay. The mind tells, okay, one day you don't go. So mind is very tricky. That's why the mind is actually the cause of bondage and cause of liberation. So when we make our mind as our friend, then that can act as the cause of liberation or transcend this material world. Liberation, not in the impersonal liberation, it's a personal liberation. But this mind acts as our enemy in the beginning stage. So until, that's why Krishna says, Sthita Bhagya, that's why Krishna is describing all these things. How to control the mind? How to become Sthita Pragya, have steady intelligence, because our mind is very chanchal, flickering. That's why we cannot concentrate on Krishna, we cannot concentrate on the holy name. While chanting, we cannot concentrate? Because mind is flickering. Mind is trying to find pleasure in sense objects. So that's why Krishna is telling us how to control the mind. How to make the mind our friend. Then only we can taste the spiritual atmosphere and spiritual service, devotional service. We can taste that. So initially we have no taste because everything is contaminated. Senses are contaminated, mind is contaminated. So we are trying to purify these things by forcefully engaging our senses and mind, following the rules and regulations. So when the mind will be purified gradually, we can then test devotional service. We can test the holy name. We can test serving Krishna. We can test seeing, getting darshan of Krishna. We will develop that taste. So very difficult. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.